Welcome to the Revolutionary Health Podcast. I am your host, Stephanie Center. I am a licensed clinician in search of how to live a meaningful and healthy life. I challenge both traditional and functional medicine ideologies in search of truth and wisdom. I allow room for curiosity and always keep an open mind. I enjoy deep conversations with my guests, giving them a safe space to share their research and personal observation, as I feel both equally contribute to the body of knowledge and human experience. Note that the opinions of my guests do not always reflect my own, whether I share that openly or not. And of course, the podcast is for educational purposes only. We do not offer medical advice. So grab a cup of coffee and join me for some intimate and unique discussions about finding wellness in the 21st century. Welcome to Revolutionary Health Podcast. I am your host, Stephanie Center. Before we start, I want to acknowledge you for showing up today, for you, for yourself. If you're listening to this episode, it's because you want to learn more about how to take ownership of your health. And I feel like that's such a big deal. And it often goes unacknowledged. So thanks for being here. Also want to thank everyone who has reached out about my previous episode, A Better Alternative to Prenatal Vitamins with Morley Robbins and Dr. Liz Reed. I am so touched that so many women found this information helpful and empowering. So thank you for sharing your stories with me. Today, we are going to talk about how to properly assess your hormone health. I feel like we are so quick to place blame on our hormones, you know, with popular phrases like, oh, I'm so hormonal. But when we say things like that, we don't really know what exactly is going on inside our bodies. My guest today is one of my favorite people on this planet. She is the nutritionist that I partner with whenever I have the chance. She is one of the most knowledgeable practitioners I know on hormones, and she's so much better at explaining things than I am. She has a gift for breaking down complicated subjects into simple terms. Our guest today is the one and only Rachel Heppner. In this episode, you will learn, how do I know if I have a hormonal imbalance? You'll learn, what are the signs and symptoms of a hormone imbalance? Misconceptions about hormone testing. And we will look at blood testing versus urine and saliva. We'll talk about maybe some problems with the way traditional medicine measures hormones, because hormones fluctuate and you just normally get like a snippet in time when you go, you know, have a blood draw. We talk about why functional hormone testing is different. So what does it mean to measure fluctuating hormones throughout the course of a day? And how can we use both time and specificity to really nail down the problem? And then we talk about how we use those insights. So, okay, great. Now we have all this detailed information about your hormones. What are we going to do with it? And we end with a little teaser about why you should not stop hormonal birth control without a plan. And that is something I feel like deserves its own episode, which is why I'm calling it a teaser, because we just briefly talk about that, but there will be more to come. So make sure you subscribe to the show if you want to hear our follow-up episode on that. Rachel and I are releasing another round of Own Your Hormones. This is our program where we offer hormone testing and a customized healing plan. You'll meet with both of us for a kickoff call so we can learn about your health history and goals. And then we have a pretty lengthy results and recommendation session where we teach you how to interpret your lab results and give you a customized healing plan. Spots will open up on June 1st, but we are giving you listeners first dibs. We have limited spots available and we fill up fast. So I want you all to have this opportunity first so you can hop on the show notes and you can sign up today. All right, are you ready? Let's dive in. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to Revolutionary Health. I am your host, Stephanie Center. I'm so excited for this episode today. I'm with one of my holistic health BFFs, Rachel Heppner. She is a holistic health coach. She's an integrative nutrition health coach, and she has extra certifications in women's health and hormones. And boy, do we have a great show for you today, because I'm sure a lot of you listening have wondered, do I have a hormone problem? Are my hormones imbalanced? Maybe you've sought out help. You've gone to your doctor and asked to have your hormones measured. And we're going to kind of dive into different approaches to measuring hormones. But I think that this will be a really eye-opening episode for you if you ever have struggled with hormone health, be that acne, PCOS, migraines. Goodness, the list goes on and on. Difficulty with weight loss, hair where you don't want it, hair loss. All of these things are impacted by our hormones. And so I'm really excited for this discussion today. Before we dive in, Rach, is there anything that I left out that you wanted to say about yourself?
No, it is so wonderful to be here. Steph, you know, I love you. You are one of my best friends, holistic health BFFs. Yeah. And superstars. So I'm happy to be here. If you guys want to connect with me, my handle on social media is at Real Health with Rach. Like Steph said, I am a holistic nutritionist, a women's health and hormone specialist, and I'm very, very excited about this conversation. It's near and dear to my heart and something I am very deeply passionate about. And Steph and I have both been on multi-year journeys related to our hormones and getting to the root causes of issues that we've been having related to that. So I'm a totally open book, happy to talk about my personal experience and what I see in my practice with the women that I work with. So yeah, let's get started.
Awesome. Yeah. So Rach and I, we work together. We have a program called Own Your Hormones, where we do functional lab testing, and we give a really customized healing plan that includes nutrition, lifestyle adjustments, limiting exposure to certain toxins, things that you just maybe wouldn't think about that can impact your hormones. And also, you know, supplementation if that is something that's needed. So I think, you know, a good place to start would be, and Rachel, you came up with this question, how do I know if I have a hormone imbalance? Like, let's start at the basics. How do you know? Like, what in your mind makes you ask that question? Is it my hormones? Is something up with my hormones? So we'll dive into that first.
Yeah. So the term hormonal imbalance, it's a pretty large blanket term, and it's probably one that you might be hearing or seeing more. It makes my heart so happy that the holistic health space is expanding and people are talking more about functional and integrative medicine. So that's a term you might be seeing on Steph's social media, on my social media, or out in the world. But it's a pretty broad term. And I think in a lot of cases, we don't know if it resonates with us unless somebody gives me like a definition list, like what does a hormonal imbalance mean? So very, very simply, it is an imbalance of one of the hormones in your very large and complex endocrine system. So this is going to be your sex hormones, your stress hormones, your thyroid hormones, and hunger hormones. Insulin is a hormone, vitamin D is a hormone. So it's a pretty big category. But I think my personal experience and what started to have light bulbs go off for me was physical symptoms I was feeling in my body. So a hormonal imbalance may be characterized by issues with your period. So I have PCOS, that is a type of hormonal dysfunction. And you might have irregular periods, a missing period, really heavy or painful periods. You might have migraines, bloating, chronic fatigue, brain fog, inability to concentrate or focus. I also struggled with terrible cystic acne for years and eczema. Those were both a type of hormonal imbalance manifestation for me. You might be gaining a lot of weight, or you're trying to lose weight desperately and the scale will not budge. It will not move. Like Steph said, you might be losing hair on your head, or you might see hair sprouting up on other places on your body, like your chin or your stomach or around your nipples. There are lots of ways this can manifest. And that's why hormonal imbalance is not a one size fits all. So Steph and I see women that come into our practices and into our Own Your Hormones program, that there's usually like that one specific thing that is like the bane of your existence right now. Like, I've been trying to lose this belly fat for 5 years and it's not going anywhere. No matter how healthy I eat, no matter how much I work out, or no matter how much sleep I get, I'm chronically fatigued.
Yeah.
I have a certification in pregnancy and postpartum health, and I see a lot of moms that kept waiting for their mojo to come back after baby was born, and it never did. They're like, I haven't wanted to have sex since before I got pregnant, and I still don't want to have sex. And that's a sign that something isn't quite jiving right in your body. So it's a broad definition, but I find that most women have that one specific thing that really calls to them of like, yep, that's made a bane of my existence right now. And for me, it was the fact that I had a super irregular period and I had terrible cystic acne. And that was what caused me to get into the holistic health space, start diving into hormones, and ultimately get to the bottom of it for myself so I could fix those things.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. And I would say that something that you and I are both really passionate about, and one of the reasons why we're here and having this conversation, is because so many women, you know, do seek help and they're told, well, it's normal to not have a sex drive after you have a baby, or it's normal for the mom of young kids to have zero energy. And we are here to break this misconception that common is normal, because just because something is common does not mean it's okay. And I feel like when that situation occurs, your symptoms and your feelings and your reality is not being validated. And Rach and I have a really big problem with that, because those are signs. That is your body's way of telling you, hello, pay attention to me. Something's up. Something's not right. And oftentimes that is a imbalance in your hormones. And many different things can cause that. And that's something we dive into with our testing. And well, before I get ahead of myself, maybe we should talk about, let's say you do go to your doctor and they test your hormones. How are they testing your hormones? And what's kind of the problem with the way they test your hormones?
Yes. So if your experience is anything like mine was, and you go to your doctor and you say, I have acne or an irregular period, or I don't have sex drives, whatever it might be, they are probably going to try to write you a prescription for some form of hormonal birth control.
Yes.
Because that's exactly what happened to me. And granted, I was 15 at the time. I did not know anything about health or my body, but I had a face full of terrible acne, and I've had an irregular period since my period had started at 13 years old. And I took a prescription and I left, and I didn't ask any questions. I took my doctor at face value. I never pressed further. So that's probably going to be what happens to you. If you are already on birth control and you go in, you're having problems, they'll probably try to put you on a different form of birth control, because I ended up being on 5 different forms of hormonal birth control over 12 years before finally coming off of it. And so let's say that you push through both of the potential, you know, pushes from a doctor for hormonal birth control, and you say like, no, you know, I was on birth control previously, or I have a family history of blood clots, like whatever it might be that keeps you from taking a prescription, and you say, I really want to get my hormones tested. What they're probably going to do is write you a lab order for a blood draw, send you to get blood drawn. And if you're lucky, they might test like estrogen in the form of maybe estradiol. They might test like your free testosterone, maybe progesterone. And the first time I had my hormones tested that way, I was given a lab order after begrudgingly getting my doctor to write it for me. And they just said, schedule an appointment with the lab and go take it. And the problem I have with that, and Steph and I both do, is women's hormones fluctuate throughout the course of a day and over the course of your 28-day cycle, whatever might be normal for your body. So when you go and get your hormones tested on a random day and at a random time of day, there's no frame of reference to know what might be the normal range for that snapshot. Getting your hormones tested on day 5 of your cycle is very different than day 25. And getting them tested at 8 a.m. is very different than getting them tested at 4 p.m. And I didn't know that. So I go in, I get my hormones tested, and it comes back and it's like, we don't see anything. Don't know what to tell you. And I was like, but I still feel like crap. And I didn't know at the time. And I don't think most women know that your hormones are least sensitive in your blood. then saliva, and then urine. And that's why Steph and I test hormones with urine, is they are the most sensitive in urine. And you also need to know when during the month to have your hormones tested, and test them multiple times over a 24-hour period.
Yeah. So I would love to make a couple observations of what you shared. So I didn't know this about you. So you got your period when you were 13 and they put you on hormonal birth control at 15. So your period didn't have the chance to become regular yet, because it takes a couple of years to, you know, if you were to have a regular cycle, if that were to be your story, you wouldn't know that because they didn't give you the chance. And I also wanted to just share my own personal experience with this. I had a very similar story where, and you know, I don't even think that my skin is necessarily prone to breaking out. I think I just had really bad, like, exposures and really bad care, but I was given hormonal birth control probably around like 18 or 19 for acne. And then they started giving me other things. And I think a popular drug that women are given is spironolactone. And spironolactone assumes that you are androgenic because it suppresses androgen. It's also, in a higher dose, can be used as a hypertensive medication. And guess what? Nobody tested me to see if I was androgenic, and I am not. So that did not help my problem. In fact, it really just acted as a diuretic in my body, and it made me dehydrated. So I think it's really curious and really interesting that physicians do not test for these things before giving prescription medications, because that one actually did me more harm than good, along with some of the other things that they give for hormonal imbalance, right? They'll give you different, like, topical creams. Again, that's not addressing the root of the problem. If you're really unfortunate, they might prescribe Accutane, which is highly toxic to your liver. You have to have your liver enzymes actually measured, I think, on a monthly basis. So I think that, you know, if you're going to go down this route, know that it is not ultimately solving your problem. You don't know why you have acne. Nobody really looked at your hormones adequately or accurately. And one of the reasons that Rach and I like to do this urine hormone test is we can look at hormone metabolites. We can answer the question, are you androgenic? Because we're going to look at how your body breaks down testosterone and which pathway you favor. If you're a woman who maybe you're headed towards perimenopause and you're thinking about doing hormone replacement therapy, oh my gosh, why do we not test women before putting them on hormone replacement therapy? Perhaps you don't metabolize estrogen well, and that would make you at a higher risk for developing cancer by taking hormone replacement therapy. Again, these are things that are not tested and should be. So that's kind of how our testing is different. We do care about time of day. We do care about time of the month, and we're going to look at a 24-hour period, because we want to see those fluctuations. We want to be able to pinpoint what time of day the problem is, because that matters. That's going to tell the story of what's happening in your body. So I really like those highlights that you shared. I just think that my heart breaks, like, for my, I don't know if you feel this way, Rach, but my heart breaks for my younger self for not, I mean, what 15-year-old is going to question a physician? Nobody is. Yeah. And I remember even asking a dermatologist once, like, and this was before we knew anything about nutrition, organic food. Like, this was, like, you know, early 2000s, like, oh my gosh, is it something I'm eating? And she literally said to me, no, food doesn't affect your hormones. It doesn't affect acne. And I was like, this just doesn't feel right. But of course, I would never have said that. I would now, because I'm older and I don't care, but yeah.
I'm right there with you, Steph. I think back, and I grew up in the 90s. So I think about what I was eating ahead of puberty was very high sugar foods, lots of processed foods and refined grains.
Yeah.
I don't think I was eating a single thing that was organic. So I had very high exposure to glyphosate and pesticides, genetically modified food. The whole thing was low fat, the low fat craze. I have a family history of heart disease. So it was like I can't believe it's not butter, the low fat, no fat yogurt, which was just replacing high quality fats with low quality inflammatory oils and sugar. So no wonder by the time I got to puberty, my hormones were already in chaos because the inputs were poor. And again, nobody talked to me about nutrition or what I was putting in my body or my exposure to toxins. It wasn't until I was in college that I got my first food sensitivity panel done and found out I had all of these issues with my gut and all of these issues with foods. I was like, what, what's going on? And I'm right there with you. I ended up on spironolactone and I am androgenic. That's typical with PCOS. But the difference is that what started initially as a low dose of spironolactone became ineffective. And over the course of 3 years, I continued to end up on higher and higher doses. Well, I have low blood pressure. So someone who already has low blood pressure being put on a medication that in a higher dose is treating blood pressure. Mm-hmm. Then I ended up with lightheadedness all the time and I couldn't work out and I would get dizzy. And if I stood up too fast, I would have to hold on to a wall. And I was like, oh my God, what is happening? So I started to then have all these fires in my body related to side effects. And I was pushed Accutane more times than I can ever count. And I always refused it because again, I was like, the issue here, acne is the end of this disease cycle. That is the end of the problem. That is the physical manifestation and a symptom. The root cause of my acne is not a lack of Accutane in my body.
Right.
And that's really where like things changed for me. And I said, there has to be something else going on. There's got to be something that people aren't telling me or that I don't know as to why my acne is not getting better, no matter how many topicals I use and no matter how much medication I take.
Yeah. And isn't it so ironic that so Accutane, we said, is really hard on the liver. Well, if you have acne, you have a liver problem, right? You are not detoxifying properly. You have a clogged liver. And so let's just add insult to injury here and give you something that is really hard for your liver to process. I just, it's kind of funny to me now looking back, knowing what I know now. And I just wanted to share one little side note because you talked about glyphosate. And there are studies out now that show that glyphosate exposure, like prenatal, can contribute to PCOS because it inhibits the aromatase enzyme, which is responsible for converting testosterone to estrogen. And so you can see babies born basically predisposed to PCOS. You can kind of link them back. And that's if you agree with the theory that glyphosate can act as a glycine molecule, a glycine mimicking molecule, which I believe it can. So yeah, just there is no, like, there's so many things that we are up against that we have to really be careful and we have to think about, because the company that owns glyphosate does not care if you have PCOS or not. And the company that owns glyphosate, ironically, is a pharmaceutical company, Bayer AG. Pharmaceutical companies do not, like, their main goal is to make money. Their main goal isn't to help you. So they do have some conflicts of interest there. And when physicians recommend medications, there's some conflicts of interest too, because they can get kickbacks, which I didn't know that until I was a part of the system, to be honest. I didn't know that until I was working in traditional medicine. I was like, this doesn't feel right. Because that just really promotes doctors to promote medications that they may or may not really fully believe in. So you really have to be careful when you are navigating those waters in traditional medicine, because you do have a lot stacked up against you, unfortunately.
Yeah. It's, the harsh reality is that nobody gets paid for me to tell you to eat organic food.
Right.
Or to remove foods that your body is sensitive to or doesn't like, or eat more healthy fats. Nobody makes money off of that. So it's not on the prescription pad.
Right. Nobody makes money off of bioidentical hormones, which is why the prescription hormones are synthetic. And guess what? Your body cannot be tricked. It knows it's synthetic. It knows it and it doesn't like it, which is one of our biggest issues with hormonal birth control, is that it just wreaks havoc on your system because they're fake hormones. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we talked about maybe some roadblocks you'd run into navigating hormonal imbalances. We did talk a lot about acne, but there are many other manifestations of hormonal imbalance. We see a lot of women with chronic fatigue that just say, like, my get up and go is gone. And of course, hormones play a big role in that. We look at, along with sex hormones, we look at stress hormones. So cortisol to DHEA ratio, we look at that. Cortisol is that hormone that wakes you up in the morning. And a lot of women we see don't produce a lot of cortisol. Their cortisol sum is low. So their get up and go really has gone. And they are tanked by the afternoon. They have no energy left. And so again, that helps us to give some insight and some advice onto things that women can do to help restore their body's ability to produce cortisol. And maybe things that, maybe if you were exercising late at night and you don't have any cortisol late at night, that's going to hurt you. So kind of changing some lifestyle habits that you just wouldn't ever think about, right? Because nobody's looking. If you go to your doctor to get your cortisol measured, they do differentiate AM from PM, thankfully, but they do not differentiate moment you wake up to 2 hours post waking up to lunchtime to dinner time. They're not going to do that. You're going to get that blood drawn whenever they have an available appointment. And cortisol is really important to get the timing right. I feel like out of all of them, cortisol is probably the most important to get the timing right.
Yeah, it doesn't
look at that too.
It doesn't just matter the type of movement you might be doing, which right now you might have zero energy to move at all. We see women like that say, I literally do not have energy to work out because it takes all of my energy just to get through the day.
Sure.
But if you have energy to work out, the type of exercise you're doing matters, and the time of day you're doing that exercise matters.
Yeah.
Right now, there's a lot of very trendy and popular high intensity workout programs or studios where you're going in and you're doing long bouts or even short bouts of high intensity exercise.
Yeah.
But do you know if your body likes high intensity exercise? If you're dealing with chronic fatigue or adrenal fatigue, or you're feeling really burnt out, doing high intensity exercise could make you feel worse. We've also seen women that they would do great doing high intensity exercise in the morning, but not in the afternoon or the evening. And just by making a small change like that can open up the floodgate for all of these other positive changes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny when we see women that are like, well, the only way I can lose weight is with high intensity exercise. If I stop doing this, I'm going to gain 30 pounds next month. And we say, just try it. Just try it. Try it for a month. If you gain 30 pounds, you can come and bang our door down about it. But then we will get emails from women later that are like, I can't believe I lost weight just walking around my neighborhood or just doing yoga or not picking up a single heavy weight for 30 days because their body started to heal and calm down. Excessive cortisol, your cortisol stays elevated for a very long period of time. So let's say you have a traumatic life event, you start a very job, you move, your body can handle elevated cortisol for a short period of time.
Right.
But if that cortisol stays elevated for a long period of time, your body starts to stop producing cortisol at that level as a way to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
Your adrenals start to wind down production. You physically can't produce anymore, or your body's protecting you by producing less. And by removing something that's extremely stressful, which could be foods causing stress, fitness causing stress, maybe something in your lifestyle that's causing that excessive stress, and your body starts healing, you might actually see the results that you want without having to do more. And I think that's our society has trained us that, like, oh, you just have to work out more, or you're just eating too much, or you're not trying hard enough. And I promise you, if there is something internal going on in your body that's causing it, it is not your fault. And you doing more high intensity exercise or sacrificing sleep to get in an additional workout, it's only going to continue to make you feel worse.
Yeah.
And I think we're seeing so much burnout and so much chronic fatigue with women because we're just being told, do more, do more, do more.
Right.
And your body's like, please, for the love of God, do less.
Right. I think just as women, we are conditioned to do all the things, right? And now we live in this world of social media where it's like everything needs to be Instagram ready too. And that's just not real life. And I think we put a lot of undue pressure on ourselves to be this, I don't know, this fantasy version of ourselves when I think that, I'm so grateful that social media came out like after I got older. It wasn't a thing when I was in school, so I didn't have to worry about it. But I think about that with the women I work with now, that like, I can't imagine like with the, are like 20 somethings, are younger people. Like, I can't imagine just kind of the stress that they're under. And that's just, you know, what Rachel shared, that's just one piece of the puzzle, right? So we take these hormone results and we, Rachel and I collaborate together. We come up with a plan. Rachel is a boss when it comes to nutrition and how to use food to support your hormones. I'm more of a lab geek, so I like to look at data and look at trends and see, you know, what is this trend associated with? And together we're a pretty potent concoction because we can give you really customized advice, not just with nutrition, but lifestyle. There's a lot of things that impact our hormones that we don't think about, like our self-care products. There's a lot of what's called xenoestrogens, which is just a fancy way of saying fake estrogens, estrogen mimickers, that we don't think about, or that we come in contact with that can impact our estrogen levels. One common one that I'm sure you probably touched sometime today is receipt paper. That has a lot of BPA in it, and that can leach onto your skin and your body can absorb it and use it as estrogen. So that's something we dive into, is like, what are you cooking with? What are you cleaning with? What are you putting on your face? What are you putting on your body? We dive into other kinds of environmental exposures. Like Rachel already talked about, like eating organic food. I think that's something we're both passionate about. If you can find organic, you know, voting with your dollars on food that was not sprayed with pesticides and herbicides, because it is going to be more nutrient dense and you don't have to worry about that very disruptive molecule getting in your system. We also look at, like Rachel said, movement. We look at things that maybe you wouldn't think of, like EMF exposures and blue light. Blue light affects your hormones. So we kind of have this, you know, outside of the box and really individualized approach with everyone we work with, because hormones are not a one size fits all equation. And the beautiful thing about this test is it really breaks down for each individual person where that dysfunction is occurring so that we can restore function. I think that's a really important distinction between us and traditional medicine. Traditional medicine does not aim to restore function. They aim to manage symptoms with medications. And there's a very big difference in your quality of life depending on which approach you choose. So that's kind of how we use our insights. Do you have anything to add? Anything I missed?
Yeah, I think you laid it out really eloquently. And
thanks.
I think that's the biggest thing, is just like, no two hormonal imbalances are the same. No two treatment plans for said hormonal imbalances are the same. And if you're dealing with estrogen dominance, we approach that differently than testosterone dominance. Mm-hmm. We approach that differently from low progesterone. We approach that differently for high and low cortisol. And you could have any number of combinations of these. And it's really what is normal for your body. Because my normal estrogen might be low for Steph, or vice versa. And depending on how you metabolize estrogen or metabolize testosterone also changes the way we look at it.
Yeah.
So it's important for us that not only do you get really great functional medicine insights from the lab test, but we give you a roadmap of what to do with the results. Because you could go and order this test on your own and get this big packet with all these clinical notes that you have no idea how to decipher, but it doesn't tell you what to do about it. So our goal is to give you a roadmap to say, here are the nutritional changes to make that are the best bang for your buck. We don't want to give you 100 things to do. You want to say, here are your top five best return on investment for nutrition. Here are your top five best return on investment for lifestyle and for fitness and supplementation and toxin exposure, so that you walk away with a step-by-step guide to say, okay, I'm going to do this first, check the box. All right, do this one next, do this next. And slowly over time, you might have added up to make 25 or 30 changes to your life over the course of a few months. And all of those changes have a compounding interest effect on your body. So not only do we want you to have the data and know what's going on, because knowledge really is that empowerment part of it. You need to know your body and know what's going on. Yep. And then you need to know what to do about it. And we want all of our clients to be able to walk away knowing, hey, I have estrogen dominance and I know what that means. And here's what I'm doing about it. So that when you walk into your next doctor at some point in the future, you can advocate for yourself better. You can tell your story. You can provide previous labs that you've had done. And Steph and I are huge proponents that once you're feeling amazing, you become your peak best version of yourself. That is an exceptional time to get labs done, so that you have labs when you feel your best. Most of us only ever seek out lab testing when we feel like shit.
Yeah.
We feel like crap, and there is a reason we are looking for an answer. But what if we made it standard care and standard practice to say, I'm going to test your hormones right now while you tell me you are feeling 10 out of 10 best you've ever felt in your life? Because then you have a baseline. Especially as we age and our hormones change, you can say, wow, you know, my estrogen is normal, quote unquote, on both of these labs, but it's actually gone down 25% from my last labs. It might still be in the normal range, but it's no longer normal for you.
Yeah.
And I think that if we can get in that habit to do lab testing regularly, do lab testing when we feel really great, we're just giving ourselves a better chance of long-term success in our health. And ultimately, I want every woman on earth to be able to tell her health story and advocate for her needs and understand what's going on in her body. I think we're so disconnected from our bodies in this day and age that, like, really checking in and knowing what's going on and saying, is this normal? Or how do I feel today? Or where do I feel this in my body is such an important practice for us to cultivate. And that's our goal, is to get the ball rolling on that for you and be able to show you what's going on and then show you the road to start making changes that are going to help you to feel better.
Absolutely. I think it's always good to have objective data of when you feel good, because to your point earlier, maybe your ideal estrogen level is different from mine, but we're both in normal. So it's really hard to know what's your normal and what's my normal, because that range is big. Which is also something I wanted to mention about the testing we use. Our ranges are going to be different than the ranges in traditional medicine. Our range only looks at healthy people, so not a combination of sick and healthy people. So maybe you're surprised to learn that traditional labs just take an average of everybody, healthy and ill, mm-hmm. and that's where they get their ranges from. That is not true of this test. So, it's also a better, more concise range. So that does help a little bit with finding, you know, what is normal, defining that. But I'm really grateful for this test, that it exists and that we can really use it to empower women. I think that things are changing and people are beginning to question things more, which is really great. I think that when I was a kid, we just listened to our doctors and we never questioned anything. I've got a bunch of like 20-year-olds I'm working with right now who are like, I question everything. And I love it, because that's not the world I grew up in. So it's great to see that things are changing in that direction, because that is a big part of advocating for yourself and your well-being. Before we wrap up, we want to give you a little teaser for something we're going to talk about next time we meet. And that's getting off the pill. Oh my goodness. How many women come to us saying, I want to get off the pill. What do I do? So Rach, this is your brainchild. So I'm going to let you take the floor here.
Yes. I think the first thing I want to say about this is, if you are currently using any form of hormonal birth control, you have a hormonal imbalance because that is what the pill does. Yeah. It creates a hormonal imbalance in your body to shut down ovulation so you do not get pregnant. Ironically, the birth control pill is more often prescribed for reasons other than its intended use at an astronomical rate. It is the number one prescription given to women for something other than its intended purpose, which is to prevent pregnancy. I was not sexually active at 15 years old. I was put on it for all of these other issues that it was going to quote unquote fix. And the reality is the birth control pill does not fix or cure any underlying symptom you are having. That is just a fact. It might reduce or suppress your symptoms because of the hormonal imbalance it creates, or your symptoms could get worse like mine, or you could end up with symptoms you didn't have before. So I just like to make that really, really clear because I think there's so much misinformation about birth control. And this includes the shot, this includes the ring, and this includes hormonal IUDs. They are all releasing synthetic hormones into your bloodstream and accomplishing very, very similar things within your body. So I would say that. The other disclaimer that I give to women is my professional opinion, take it as you will, is I do not recommend going cold turkey on hormonal birth control without having a plan to heal the hormonal imbalances that it causes within your gut, within your liver, within your endocrine system. I didn't know any better. This was years ago now for me. I didn't know any better. And I was like, I'm done with the pill. And I threw my last pill pack in the garbage. And I spent 6 months feeling like absolute crap because I had this rebounding of symptoms. All of those hormones were being suppressed and they reared their ugly head with a vengeance. I go into my doctor because I'm like, what is going on? And she tries to put me right back on the pill. And I was like, okay, well, let's figure this out a different way. So one of the main reasons women come to see me in my practice, and something I do very often, is helping women safely and effectively transition off of the birth control pill to reduce side effects that you might have afterwards, identify and resolve hormonal imbalances that were caused. And it's something Steph and I ethically feel very strongly about, that we do not order hormone testing for women on hormonal birth control. You are not going to get valuable insights because you have synthetic hormones coursing through your veins and ultimately coming out through your urine. So we recommend when you're ready to come off of hormonal birth control, let's make a plan to do it safely and effectively so you don't went through what I went through of having a terrible rebound of symptoms. And then let's give it a few months for your body to detox the synthetic hormones before we do functional hormone testing. And that might be true of most. You might go into your primary care doctor and they tell you something very similar to say, hey, it's not really a good use of your time or your money to test your hormones while you're on synthetic, while you're taking synthetic hormones or using hormonal birth control, because you're not going to get great insights. And it's having a plan in place and it's knowing, okay, what's coming down the pipe as soon as I, you know, rip this Band-Aid off, and, you know, what demons are lurking underneath the surface that might start to rear their ugly head when your body realizes that those synthetic hormones aren't coming anymore and your normal hormones start trying to function again, or maybe they don't start functioning again normally and they really need some love to start getting moving. But yeah, we're going to do a whole episode on the birth control pill and side effects that you might be aware of and side effects that you might not be aware of that are lurking in your body, and just wanting to arm you with as much information as possible. Both Steph and I support every reproductive decision that any woman will ever make for her body. You are the decision maker and it's ultimately your health and your body and your choice, but we want you to be knowledgeable and informed on what does it mean for you. What do you need to know about it? What precautions might you need to take? Because we don't think there's enough of that conversation happening right now.
Absolutely. If I had known what I know now about hormonal birth control, I never would have gone on it. Yeah. And I also want us to talk about other things that hormonal birth control depletes in your body, because it's not just your hormones. It also depletes some other things that are really necessary and meaningful to your body. And there's a cascade effect when you take hormonal birth control of other things that it causes, right? And that's the story for a lot of drugs that you take. There's a cascade of effects, right? Taking one drug means you oftentimes have to end up taking another drug. If Rach kept going with that high dose spironolactone, maybe they would have eventually offered her something to bring her blood pressure up along with it. And then she's got these fighting forces. Who knows? You just kind of see that cascade of interventions, I think is what it's called. And that's how you end up with polypharmacy. We work with a lot of women who are on a ton of medications. And, I think if any of us, interviewed an aunt or a grandmother or a mother, somebody older in our family and asked them, how many prescription medications were you on at 27? The answer would probably be zero. Mm-hmm. And I would invite you to do that. Talk to some of your older family members and ask them, how many meds were you on? And then look at your own list. I'm always surprised to see how many young people come to me on prescription medications that, it's like they weren't given a chance for other things. So
it's so, so important. I ended up, it was that exact cascade for me. I started on hormonal birth control, and then I developed severe anxiety and depression, and I ended up on antidepressants. And then I ended up on spironolactone, and then I ended up on topicals. And if I wouldn't have advocated for myself, I also would have ended up on Accutane.
Yeah.
And it took a long time to like unwind that and realize, oh, my severe mood swings and anxiety, not that it's gone. That's probably something a lot of us have some level of and we'll deal with for, most of our lives. But it was made severely worse,
right,
by the intervention of synthetic hormones, because our hormones interact with our neurotransmitters, and you end up with this whole cascade. So it's important to know what's going on in your body and what it's doing. But please, if you are on hormonal birth control right now, do not like go throw it in the garbage as a result of listening to this. Like, if that's something that's important to you, make a plan, reach out to us, reach out to a provider that you trust. Or wait for our next episode, and we'll talk a lot more about it and be able to give you some actionable next steps to take. But it's a very, very complex topic. And I think one that women are not educated on nearly enough before they're given that prescription.
Yeah. Wonderful. So I just want to close out with our program that we have, because that's opening this June. And I think we're offering an early bird for you all listeners. We're going to open our program up a few days early. So if you're listening, you can click on the link in the show notes to join our program. It's Own Your Hormones. We only have 10 spots available because we are booked up. Oh my goodness. So when we are full, we will be full. And I anticipate we will probably be full around June 1st, around when it opens. That's kind of what's been happening. So if you are interested, I would recommend hopping on that sooner than later. In this program, we do offer the Dutch hormone test. So that's that urine test we've been talking about. And you get both of us, Rach and myself, we meet with you for what we call a kickoff call, where we get to know you better, learn a little bit about your health history, and develop some goals so that we have some things in mind when we get your results. And then when you do the test, we will meet with you for a 90-minute session to go over your results. It's really important to both of us that you understand what your labs mean, so that when you walk away, you don't have any question of what is going on in your body. I think I would say the majority of women that come to us that have had labs done say, okay, here, I don't know what this means, but here it is. I have a problem with that, because you should be empowered with what your labs say. So we go over that, and then we have this really nice customized plan that we send you, and we kind of go over the steps of that. Definitely, our goal is never to overwhelm. So we might have a lot of items on that plan, that customized plan, but just know one step at a time. We're meeting with you once, we are kind of, in a sense, throwing the kitchen sink at you. But the goal is not to do all 30 things at once. It's to empower yourself with this knowledge and make changes as you can. And then feel free to reach back out to us, you know, down the road, if you're feeling really great and you're like, okay, I want another snapshot of what I'm, you know, I'm 10 out of 10, my best. I think that is the best time to measure your hormones so that when things do change down the road, because as women, we are always evolving and changing and we do get older and our hormones change. It's really good to know, okay, this is what my estrogen was when I felt on top of the world. This is what my melatonin was when I felt on top of the world. So it kind of gives you a good idea of objectively what you look like when you're feeling your best. I will provide links in the show notes to Rachel, to her Instagram, and you want your website included, Rach?
Yeah, you can include, if you guys want to connect with me, I'm at Real Health with Rach on all social media, realhealthwithrach.com. We would love to see you inside the Own Your Hormones program. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love working with Steph, and you get both of us. So you're getting time with the two of us, and we have different areas of expertise. And I think that only makes us more effective to be able to serve you. And getting functional lab testing done, if you've never done it before, it was so eye-opening for my health and my body, and like really made me realize, oh, that's why that's happening. It's you tell us the what, you tell us your symptoms, and your lab test is going to tell us the why. And as soon as we know the why, it means then we know what we can do about it.
Well said. Well, thank you everyone for tuning in today. Again, this is Revolutionary Health. You're listening to Rach and Steph. It's so great to have you. Rach really is one of my closest friends. And so this is a wonderful time that we can spend together doing what we love most, talking about hormones. So if you enjoy the show, please subscribe to the podcast, share this with a friend or a family member. I'm sure somebody you know in your life is dealing with hormone issues, and this information can really help them and empower them. So please share. And yeah, I will see you next time. Bye everyone. Be well and be kind. Well, thanks so much for listening. Today we covered a lot. We talked about, how do you know if you have a hormone imbalance? What are the signs and symptoms of a hormone imbalance? Misconceptions about hormone testing. And we talked about different types of testing and the pros and cons of those different types. Why functional hormone testing is different and what that measures. How to use results from functional testing. And why you shouldn't stop hormonal birth control without a plan. If you're interested in learning more about Rachel, you can find her on Instagram at Real Health with Rach, which is also, you can find a link in the show notes to her account. If you want to join Own Your Hormones, you can click on the link also in the show notes and join today. We accept 10 women each time, and we usually fill up about the first week we go live. So be sure to grab your spot today if that's something you're interested in. And just so you know, all of our services are HSA eligible, so you're welcome to use your HSA card at checkout if that applies to you. Okay, I think that's it for now. Time to go back out in the real world. Be well and be kind.